7 of our Anthem series, where we talk about a psalm for every season. I hope you've been enjoying this sermon series. Maybe not every week pertains to the season that you might be in, but I'm betting today, as we discuss Psalm 46 and discuss this season of busyness. Am I speaking to anybody? Anybody feeling busy out there? And today I want you to realize a couple things. One of those is sometimes busyness isn't always about our physical schedule. A lot of times, our craziest, busiest times are up here in our heads, or we can't shut our minds off. I always say that your mental schedule is more important than your physical schedule. And we're going to see today, as we work through this phrase, and maybe if you've been in church for a while, maybe you're here at Milton, maybe you just joined us in Sunbury Second Service, or you're online at the Well, no matter where you're at, if you've been in church for a while, you've probably heard this statement: be still and know that I am God. That comes from Psalm 46. And we're going to talk about what's before and after and put it in context, and then put it in context about our lives here in America, where it can get pretty busy. But we're going to have this as our bottom line today, that in the busyness, in the chaos, in the crazy that is this world, be still and know that He is God. That's what we need to remember in the busyness. But before we go any further and discuss some scripture, let me just pray with us. Father, help me get out of the way and help your word to be at the forefront here and just speak. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So in the busyness of your world, know we need to be still and know that He is God. Because busyness comes to us, right? Sometimes we can't help it. But there are dangers in busyness. Busyness in and of itself is not the biggest problem. The biggest problem in the midst of busyness is the prioritization of our busy. The priorities that we put in our busyness and how we're busy is important. And there's some dangers to it. So I want to go through this by asking the question, why are we so busy? Sometimes we might be sitting back and say, man, I just feel really busy right now. Like, how did this happen? What are some causes of this busyness? And if you have an outline, turn to the back of your outline. The very last thing says, 7 hypotheses for why we are so busy. I read this blog by Kyle Kowalski, and I really wanted to share it with you today. It's not going to be up on the screens, but it is in your outline. As we read through these, I want you to star or circle, maybe that is the cause of my busyness sometimes, or when I was in the busy season, that was the cause, and maybe how I don't want to get back into that busy season. But the first one is busyness as a badge of honor and a trendy status symbol. Maybe you just want to appear or seem busy so people don't think you're lazy. And so you glorify busyness, you create busyness for yourself, because maybe you find self-worth in our fast-paced society. Maybe that's your cause. Or number 2, busyness as job security. You need to work, work, and work to show your company and your boss that you're loyal. When you study the Industrial Revolution, there were 10 to 17 hour days that people were putting into work. It became work and work and work. Now, we're only at 8 hours a day. It's kind of decreased from that time. But in 1930, in the midst of the 10 to 17 hour days, there was a prophecy read by John Maynard Keynes. And he predicted that in the year 2030, which we're 8 years away today, there will be 3 hour shifts daily. That's it. For 5 days. So work will be 15 hours a week. Now, I just heard Pastor Ken, our administrative pastor, groan. But if you work for Christ Wesleyan, don't get your hopes up. There's still 8 years until this prophecy might come true. But they did some studies and research that when employers cut the working hours, there was actually more production given. Because in order for you to get done what you need done, the shorter time mentally does something to you that causes you to actually be more productive. It's crazy. They also did a study that right now, most people say they are not busy and get over 8 hours of sleep a night. I want to talk to those people who took that survey to make it seem like, because it's like, okay, what are you doing to get over 8 hours of sleep a night? That's just not my world right now. But sometimes busyness is job security. You feel like you have to work. But man, maybe by 2030, we're only 15-hour work weeks. That'd be kind of cool. Or number three, busyness is FOMO, or the fear of missing out, because you only live once, so you gotta do everything, you gotta know everything, you gotta have all the experiences, you gotta know everyone else's highlight reel on social media, and you gotta know all the buzz feeds that are going on, or you're not gonna know everything you need to know, so you keep yourself busy there. Or busyness is a byproduct of the digital age, because we're always connected in cell phones, and at the palm of our hand, anybody at any time can get in touch with us. We've kind of caused that busyness as a byproduct of that. Or number five, busyness is a time filler. Maybe you're just bored and you need to be busy, so you kind of just create things either online instead of having those idle moments that we all need. Or maybe busyness as a necessity. And that might be the case in some seasons of your life, is where you might have to work two jobs to get by. You might have to take care of multiple children to get by, and it's just busy. Or busyness as escapism. Maybe there's something that you don't want to face, so you keep yourself busy. Maybe there's someone you don't want to face, an issue you don't want to face, so you make yourself busy so you don't have to think about it. You don't have to stop and think about what you need to do in that situation. Maybe past emotional pain or deep questions like, man, what's the meaning of life, or what is my purpose? Maybe you don't want to know the answer, so you keep yourself busy. I don't know what situation you're in or what causes your busyness. For me, it's number one, two, and three. I kind of have a mix of the causes of busyness, but it helps me to know, man, why am I so busy? Do I find a status? Am I busy because I want people to know that when they see me work, I actually work hard? Is it that status symbol? Or is it just, hey, I just don't want to miss anything? But what causes your busyness? Mark those down in your outline. Because busyness leads us to leading ourselves. This is one of the big dangers of when we let busyness lead us and we don't allow God to lead us. Last week, we discussed Psalm 23, and I'm going to bring it back this week, where David says, the Lord is my shepherd, because we were designed to have a shepherd in our life. We were designed to be led by God himself. But what happens is, if you don't believe in God, you start to let other things lead you and become your shepherd. Maybe it's something with the internet or the social media feed or whatever's going on politically. Maybe that's allowing you to be led by that person or that situation that you might have. And you might say, well, I'm not led by anybody or anything. I'm my own. Well, you just admitted that you're your own shepherd. And so you don't rely on anyone else but yourself. But here's the problem with that. We are flawed and sinful. And when we try to lead ourselves, we're leading ourselves down paths that we shouldn't be on, because we can't allow God to be our shepherd. Also, busyness leads us to manage the outcomes. In our craziness, and our doing this and doing that, and feeling like we need to manage the future or set up some type of fund or legacy, which are all good things, but allow God to manage the outcome. We just read in Scripture that God created everything. I hope that moment sunk in for you, that God created light. God created us. Wouldn't you like God to control the outcome or manage the outcome? But when we keep ourselves busy, 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 we're telling God we want to control the outcome. And those outcomes aren't God honoring because of this. It's a danger to busyness when we don't invite God into our busyness. Psalm 23 goes on to say, he makes me lie down in green pastures. You notice that statement? He makes me. He controls the outcome. He knows where the green pastures are. So when I'm led by him and I allow him to manage the outcome, he's going to lead me to the blessing where we, a lot of times, because we're so nearsighted, we don't see those blessings. But when we let God lead us, when we let God manage the outcome, that is the life that we as believers need to be living, because God wants to do good works in you through that type of leading. And then we got this third one: busyness leads us away from fellowship. And I'm not just talking about being so busy that we can't be in a small group, being so busy that we can't get to church or even watch online. You must be really, really busy if you can't just stop and watch online. But not only that type of fellowship, but also this type of fellowship. You prepare a table before me in the presence. You hear this term? In the presence of, not apart from, in the presence of the enemy, in the presence of war, in the presence of battle, in the presence of chaos, in the presence of busy. God is preparing a place for you where you can fellowship with him. A table that he just wants you to come over and sit with him and not worry about all of this. Let him manage that. He just wants a little piece of you in the midst of your busyness to just sit down and say, okay, God, what are you doing? What's going on? Show me what I need to do in this craziness. But also we know that in Hebrews 10, busyness leads us away from fellowship and away from church. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. When we fellowship with each other, the purpose of that is so that we can spur one another on, so that we can go live a life where God can use our good deeds to show others his glory. But when we're not meeting together, when we're giving up meeting together, some are in the habit of doing that, and their faith isn't where it should be. They're not doing the good works God has called them to, but God gave us community and fellowship for a reason. Don't let your busy world take you away from fellowship with God and fellowship with other believers, because you need God and we need each other as well. And busyness draws us away from that at times. Don't allow that to happen. And so if you turn to Psalm 46, we're going to sit there for pretty much the rest of the time, where we get this image of God as the king of the nations, not only king of Israel, but king of all nations. And what he's saying here is, hey, Israelites, my people, my called people, in the midst of the wars and the battles that you're facing and your enemies, you need to know some things about who I am. And so he says, nations are an uproar. So this is the state of the world here. Kingdoms are falling. He lifts his voice. God lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. So this is the psalmist telling, getting a word from God and telling the fellow Israelites, listen, God of Jacob, he is our fortress. He's our protection. This is where we need to live. His presence need to be surrounding us because he's our strength. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. Who? He makes. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. This is saying, in the midst of it all, know who is in control. It's not you. It's not this world. It's not government, it's God. And he's telling Israel this, and he's telling that us for us today. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shield with fire. Who does it? Who is ultimately in control, church? God. Can you tell your situation that right now? Can you tell your busyness that right now? God, you are in control. Tell him, God, you are in control. Through it all, you are in control. See, the God of the nations made sure opposing nations found no footing. And I love this. By his word, by his voice, he makes the earth melt. And the picture here is that the enemy is literally trying to go around and fight in mud, and they're slipping all over, telling the Israelites, listen, I'm the one who can give you an advantage over the enemy. You just need to trust me that I can do it and stop controlling things and let me do it. And he tells us that same thing today. We have an enemy, church. that wants to destroy you, that wants to distract you from God. And busyness is a tactic that Satan uses to distract us from knowing this. But if we just know that God can literally, and he gives us through the power of his Holy Spirit, an advantage over the enemy, that when you go into war with the enemy, you are always at an advantage when you go in with Jesus, not by your own strength, but by God's strength. And he wants Israel to know that. The king of the nations reminded Israel that opposing nations would eventually see God's wrath. This is saying there's an end to this war, Israel. There is an end to this evil, Israel. There's an end to your oppression, Israel. There's an end, church, to our busyness, to our craziness, to the evil that we're seeing all around us, because every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that he is Lord. Every knee. All the evil, all their knees, they're going to bow along with ours. Every knee will eventually bow down, and God's wrath will be poured out on the enemy and on all evil. The God of the nations reminded Israel that war and peace depended on his voice. See, God spoke everything into existence by his breath. His voice is the one that we need to hear, even in the midst of busyness. I'm reminded of a show called Smallville. Anybody know what Smallville is? It's like the early days of Superman. He's just trying to get his powers and trying to discern what voices he needs to hear. And he's in the barn, and his dad is in the barn doing this, but he's doing other sounds, but then he's also trying to speak. In the midst of all the busyness, he's speaking. And Superman learns to hear his father's voice in the midst of the chaos that's going around in that barn. See, this is the same thing. What voices are you depending on? When we're busy, God's voice tends to be drowned out. We need to learn through it all, how can we hear God's voice, the one who is in control and wants to lead me? The king of the saints. So not only Israel is he talking to, but he's talking to Israel's enemies. But now here he's talking to all the saints. Jesus came to be an equalizer. That what he's saying to Israel, the Hebrews here, the Jews here, he's saying to all of us, because now because of Jesus, we've been grafted into this. So this message is the same. King of the saints. He says, be still and know that I am God. So this is right in the middle of this psalm, because be still means cease trying. He's telling that two ways. One, to the enemies of Israel, to the enemies of God, to Satan. He's saying, hey, cease trying. Be still and know that I am God. He's saying to the saints in all of it, chill out. Be still. Relax and know that I am God, because I'm going to be exalted among the nations. I'm going to be exalted. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. And then not all translations have Selah on them, but some have Selah, because I want you to understand the definition of Selah. And Selah literally means to lift up and exalt. But not only that, but this is a song that was sung in Israel. And when Selah comes, it means take a break from singing and exalt God. Take a break from what you've just heard and exalt God because of what you've just heard. So when we hear this, can we practice Selah here today? Church, can we practice this, God's people? So let's do this. Let's read this together, starting with here. And then I don't care where you're at. We're going to have a Selah moment in here where we're going to just break and we're going to stop and we're going to give praise. We're going to exalt God. Ready? Let's read it together. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Can we give God and exalt God praise for that truth here? Yeah. Woo. That was better than first service. Good job. Let's exalt together. I don't know if you've had more coffee than they did. But Selah, what it's saying here is saying, okay, take a break, take a breather, and rest in who God is and exalt God for this truth, that he is our fortress, he is our stronghold. See, God of the saints will do great things for his own glory. He wants you to know this in the midst of the crazy, the war, the busyness. He wants you to know this because he wants to do great things through. He's going to do great things. But in your busyness, are you stopping and allowing him to do it through your life? The enemy's rage was in vain. Hey, cease trying, enemy. The battle is won. The battle is over. So you might as well cease trying because I have won the war. God's people knew that God will always be exalted because of this psalm. I will be exalted. And because I'm going to be exalted, because I'm exalted in your life, you have nothing to worry about. Just exalt me in the midst of the busyness. God of the saints will do great things for his people's safety and protection. It's this truth. God will always be the Lord of hosts. And the host that is talked about here is not only everything that God created, he hosts them all, but he also hosts the angels in the unseen world. The heavenly hosts are under God's control. Whenever we go on a trip together, I always pray that God's protecting angels would be with our car and the other cars on the road because God is in control of what's happening around us. Do you believe that there's a spirit world around us? That there are angels, that there are demons here warring for your soul? But get this, the ones who don't like you, they want busyness to distract you from knowing who God is. But when we know these truths, that God will always be the Lord of hosts, it changes our thinking on how we see these things because we will always know that God is for us. We will always know that God is for us. He is protecting us forever. We have this forever safety in Jesus Christ. That one day, this isn't saying that because we're the saints, God is going to spare us from what this world and the pain that is brought by this world, that is brought on by sin, that is brought on by our choices, that is brought on by evil when it invades our world. That will happen. Tough times will happen. But we always have to know God will always be for us. And he proved it when he sent Jesus Christ to die for us, giving us salvation forever. Our eternal state is safe. And God makes sure that he protects us. But he will always be for us, he says. He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves. Now we're going to go to the New Testament for a second. And we're going to talk about Jesus in the boat with the disciples. Now Jesus, in this scene, he's just chilling in the back of the boat. And he's sleeping. Jesus, God is resting in this moment. He needs some rest. It's been a tough day. It's been a busy day. So he gets in the boat with his disciples and they're crossing the sea and he falls asleep. And the disciples, they must not have because there was a storm that came up. And the disciples were so frightened, they woke Jesus up. I don't know how deep of a sleep he was in, but he was probably sleeping pretty well, so I don't know how they woke him up. They splashed him with water. But I don't know. I don't know if Jesus really appreciated that. He's like, what's going on, guys? But he got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, quiet, be still, quit trying. And I don't see Jesus shouting this. But Jesus is the one who created the waters. And he says, people aren't the only ones who listen to me. Creation, all of creation listens to me. And so God wrapped himself in flesh in the form of Jesus and came and showed us who he is, that the waves and the storms and the wind have to obey him. Quiet, be still. Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, why the heck did you wake me up? I mean, seriously, guys. Why are you so afraid? Don't you have any faith yet? You've seen me do incredible things. Where is your faith? Jesus just wanted them to say, no, Jesus is here. He'll keep us safe. We'll let him sleep and we'll trust this moment that when the storm comes, when the waves come, Jesus is here. He will protect us. We have faith in who he is. He's not going to let us drown. And so they didn't rest. They weren't still. And Jesus had to still the situation. And then he says, whoa, guys, man, have faith. And I love this. A couple chapters later in Mark 6, this similar thing happens again. And Jesus, again, had a rough day. He just found out that John the Baptist, his cousin and his buddy, was just beheaded. He just fed 5,000. The crowds, he had to get away from them. And some of you remember, he starts to walk on the water here. But when he, later that night, I'm going to start in Mark 6:47. It's not in your outline. Later that night, the boat was in the middle of the lake, and he was alone on land. He saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. Shortly before dawn, he went out to them, walking on the lake. He was about to pass by them, but when they saw him walking on the lake, they thought it was a ghost. Immediately he spoke to them and said, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." Sounds familiar? Then he climbed into the boat with them. When he climbed into the boat with them, the wind died down. Oh, I want to tell you this. If you have the presence of Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, even though there's craziness, Jesus always brings the calm. He gets in the boat, he gets in your life, and he brings the calm. He can do that for you. Defeating the busyness trap. If you're at Sunbury, Pastor Ryan's going to take you the rest of the way. We hope to see you guys here next week. So how do we defeat this busyness trap? Because it really is a trap that the enemy likes to use. I'm not telling you that all the time busyness is not, it's not a horrible thing to be busy, because sometimes life just throws things at us that we have to deal with. And so busyness comes. But remember what I said at the beginning, it's about your priorities. And defeating the busyness trap, first of all, we just need to develop great time management. Have you ever thought about how you spent your time? There's a lot of great leadership books out there that deal with developing great time management. But I love this quote by Peter Drucker. "One cannot buy, rent, or hire more time. The supply of time is totally inelastic. No matter how high the demand, the supply will never go up." Newsflash, we all have the same amount of time, 24 hours a day. That's it. We all have the same time. How are you prioritizing your time? Because you can't get any more of it. "There is no price for it. Time is totally perishable and cannot be stored. Yesterday's time is gone forever and will never come back. Time is always in short supply. There is no substitute for time. Everything requires time. All work takes place in and uses up time. Yet most people take for granted this unique, irreplaceable, and necessity, and the necessary resource." I love what Peter Drucker said, but God said it first. But seek what, church? You still with me? Seek first his kingdom. You see that priority word right there? Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. All these things. So before that, if you read before that, it talks about, hey, don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear. He says, don't seek those things. Don't be living for those things. Live for me. Seek first, and I will give you those things. So quit worrying. Be still. Settle down. Be calm. I got you, God says here. But what do we need to do? We need to seek first his kingdom. You see that priority here? What busyness does to us is it causes us to forget who our first priority is. Above your spouse, above your kids, and above any situation, seek first his kingdom, his righteousness, his truth, and all these things, they'll be given to you as well. Develop an even though, be still language and lifestyle. In Habakkuk, he writes this, Though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice. Yet I will rejoice. Even though, still, I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. Right now, we need rain, don't we? Where are my farmers at? Like, we need rain. My yard is just looking awful and pathetic. We need rain. But even though we don't have rain, what are we going to do? We're not going to complain. I didn't intend that to rhyme. Just did. Even though there's no rain, I'm going to still know who God is. Even though my marriage isn't the best right now, I will be still and know who God is. Even though the inflation is just terrible, I'm going to be still and know. Even though he's in the White House right now, I am going to be still. Doesn't matter who's in the White House, but I'm going to be still and know. Why? I'm going to be still and know. Some of you need to repeat that line. Even though that person is in the White House, I'm going to be still and know that he isn't God. God is God. That's why, even though, I'm going to still be still. Even though my kids are driving me nuts, I'm going to be still and know that there is a purpose and an awesome purpose for their life. Even though I'm a single parent and days are hard, I'm going to be still and know that he is God. I don't know what it is with you. Maybe you need to write it down, discuss it later with your spouse. But we needed to develop, and even though I will still know that he is God, I will still slow down. In the busyness of our world and the craziness, we need to be still and know that he is God. And I'm wondering, is anyone out there feeling overworked, exhausted, time depleted? Is there anyone out there who needs to speak into your situation and say, I just need to be still and know that he is God? That's my situation this week. This is a timely message for me. I don't know about you. But I wonder if you'd be so bold, if that's you, and you need to speak that truth into your life, that you just need to be still and know that he is God, would you just stand where you are? Man, right away, be still and know. There's freedom in knowing that he is God. There's freedom. Don't let busyness be a chain in your life. He wants to free you from that. But we just need to be still and recognize he is God. And I ask Holly to come out. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. We sang it earlier. We're going to say it again to end our service. So if that's you, you still have time. Stand. If you need to speak into your situation, be still and know. Let's sing it.
Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. I am free, amen.
Come on, be free and know.
Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. I am free, amen.
Let's all stand together as one church in support and just sing this out.
Where the Spirit of the Lord is,
there is freedom. Come on, church, let's sing loud. Problem too much, sing louder than your problem.
I am free.
Come on, tell God you're free. Tell Satan right now you're free.
Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. I am free. Amen.
Come on, church, where the
Spirit. You know.
Yes, Father, we declare that where your Spirit is living inside of us, we are free. Father, forgive us when we allow this world and the busyness that this world creates. Forgive us when that overshadows your presence in our life. Father, help us to know, help us to find time to be still and know that you are God. We love you. Go with us. Give us strength to proclaim your truth to this world. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, church. Hey, we hope to see you here next week. We're going to be discussing the new season. But until then, can you all live as free people right now? And in the busyness of your life, declare that he is God.